So welcome back, listeners. My name is Anne Glover, also known as Mother Doula, and I work as a full-time doula here in our gorgeous Northern Ireland. So these podcasts are really to raise awareness in the birthing community of what's going on and what parents are talking about. So I hope you really enjoy this second series, listening to mums and dads chatting about their birthing or parenting experiences. And that brings me on to today's guest, who I heard about from Amy whenever we did a podcast about her Body Fit Mum's business. So I am so delighted to have another dad's voice on the podcast. So Ryan, also known as Get Up and Dad, is a fellow local podcaster. So I'm hoping I will encourage Ryan to chat about his experience supporting his wife through pregnancy, birth, and the postnatal period, about becoming a dad and adapting to fatherhood, and how his podcasts promote a positive attitude to birthing. So lots to get through this episode today. So without further ado, welcome, Ryan. Not so bad, eh? So before I ask you to give us a wee introduction, I'm going to start the podcast the same way you do on your podcast and ask you how many children you have and how old are they?
Well, first of all, Anne, thanks for having us on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And I have three kids, a six-year-old, a three-year-old, and a one-year-old.
Gosh, busy household then.
It is a busy household.
Never a dull minute. Yeah.
Not 1 minute.
Yeah. So here's your opportunity now, Rand, to tell us a wee bit about the story behind Get Up and Dad, because I'm sure the listeners are really interested, as I am, to hear all about it. How it came about in that.
Okay, so I'm a company director in a media production company. So the majority of my work is producing content for other people. So again, with that, there's kind of the creative aspect of just doing your own thing. So, I mean, I started taking the camera and started, you know, doing stuff with the kids. One of the things I did there was I made a video called Where's the GoPro? And it's basically the child, he's running around and he's trying to find the camera. So he then kind of jumps out, he finds a camera, grabs it, and there's kind of like that laugh aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then, so put it online, and GoPro, the camera company, seen it, and they posted it, and it just got loads and loads of hits.
Wow.
So, I mean, one of the things I realized when I did that was I spend so much time producing content for other people, and, you know, I don't actually do anything for myself, and I don't actually have a lot of fun doing what I kind of want to do.
Yeah.
And I love my job, and I love doing what I do, but there's just this whole other aspect of it. So then I set up the channel Get Up and Dad. It started off with a YouTube channel, and then ended up lots of attention on Instagram, and then I started bringing in other parents, interviewing them, and, you know, asking them questions, and all of a sudden it turned into creating like this positive parenting message. And now what I would be doing is taking the kids out and going doing stuff with them, whether it's going to the park or just simply, you know, experiencing new things like first haircut, for instance, just recording it, having a bit of fun with it, you know, and just uploading it.
Yeah, it does sound like fun. And isn't it lovely to get the kids involved? And I bet you they love that.
It's great now. I mean, the other thing that works really well is I used to have a lot of difficulties talking in front of the camera. So I almost kind of pushed them in front and trying to encourage them to do that. They've all got very confident. So now they'll just grab the camera and go, all right, daddy, let's make a video. Can we make some Lego? Let's video it and do a time lapse. So they've kind of got the concept of how it works and stuff, you know.
So they've got a great confidence then.
Yeah. And it's great to see. It's great to see them, especially for me not coming from a great confidence when I was younger, you know.
I know, it's funny how we have to be brave for our kids. Like,
I know. I mean, I'm used to doing podcasts myself, but it was difficult going on to someone else's podcast because you don't really know what's going to happen, what you're going to say, or, you know, and to be honest with you, I was really nervous about today.
Were you?
You know, yeah. Again, it's the unknown and the unexpected, but you just have to jump in and go for it.
You do. Well, I'll be easy on you, Anne. I won't give you any difficult questions. But anyway, as I said, it's not really a question answer for us. It's just chatting and talking about things that if any mummies or daddies are listening, that they'll be interested in. So, I mean, I'm sure there'll be lots to find that really interesting, that you can have like so much fun with your own kids, which puts a different perspective on for them, but they know they're going to be in front of the camera and how much they enjoy that. Like, sure, that's just, that's cracking. Like, it's brilliant. So I'm just going to take your memory back a wee bit. I know you said you have a one-year-old, but your eldest is six. So take your mind back to ask you how you felt, like, whenever you realized you were going to be a daddy.
Well, I mean, first coming into being a daddy, I mean, we were obviously trying, and we knew, you know, we're going for a baby. But I mean, we'd heard all these stories about people who had, you know, they were going to, it was going to take ages, and, you know, they were having difficulties and stuff, and it was just hard for them. So when we were kind of going into it to start with, I was like, no expectations. We're just going to, I'm not going to get worried about it. I'm just going to see what happens, you know. And it pretty much just happened straight away. And I was kind of, and then my wife came in one day, she handed me a wee strip, and I was all, what is this? I mean, what, I don't, you know. And then I was all of a sudden, it was just complete shock that it kind of happened so quickly.
Amazing.
So I mean, even though you're expecting it, there's still that big surprise element as such. And it was like, it was completely different with the second one, because with the second one it took a lot longer. I mean, I think it was maybe up to a year. And the last one, it was pretty much instant again. So it was, with the second one, it was kind of more of like, okay, we're pregnant here, this is the crack, it's working. Stuff, because you're still going through your head, you're worrying about things, is there something wrong? And it, I don't know, it just took time. Again, I don't know, it, I'm no doctor, it just kind of happens.
Yeah, it's the most natural thing in the world, isn't it?
Oh, aye.
Yeah. So, you know, because, you know, I work with a lot of families through pregnancy and birth, and I know you don't know anything about hypnobirthing because we've had this few conversation, but a lot of couples would come to me to do hypnobirthing because they're absolutely scared of this dreaded fear of birth, not so much about bringing baby home, but actually having the baby. And it's also, you know, for the dads as well, because they're so involved. So did you, whenever you thought about the birth, what would you have thought about? You know, did you have any images, or were you scared? Or
yeah, I mean, I have a great difficulty in dealing with anything medical, needles and stuff. See, even talking about it now, I'm like,
cringing.
So I was scared to death. I was terrified. I mean, I was like, how am I going to get through this? This is going to be terrible. And at the same time, saying that, I'm going, I can't say anything here because I'm not the one that's actually going through it. So there's the kind of aspect of scared to death, but need to be brave. So, but I mean, it is terrifying not knowing what you're going into. It was a lot easier number two and number three time, because you had a better expectation on what was going to happen. But I mean, with the first one, I mean, what happens with that whole scenario of anxiety is you feel it coming on, you feel like you're about to throw up, you feel like you just want to crawl into a corner and die. And then it happened at the really worst time. So with the first one, it was like, she was having contractions, and I ended up unconscious on the floor. And again, that's probably a lot of fears that dads are going to have, or I don't know, maybe they're not even expecting to have that. But you feel absolutely terrible because she's in the middle of having contractions, and she's turning around to the nurse and saying, is he okay? Is he all right? Is he all right? You know? So it's that feeling of embarrassment and letting down, that kind of, and that was my biggest kind of worry. So with number two, it happened again. And I was kind of going, I was really going, I think I got this under control, you know, practicing breathing and stuff, trying to focus on that and not happening, but it just catches up with you and you're just like, see you later, waking up in a things. But with number three, I don't know, it was a lot quicker and I kind of knew when to avoid everything. So I had pretty much nailed and I didn't pass out that time.
Oh, well done.
Thank you.
Well, do you know, I think, you know, I do hear this from dads, it's because like the majority of people don't usually go to the hospital. Most of us are healthy and fit. And then to be in this sort of clinical environment, and if you, like you say, if you don't like those things you talked about, it's not going to make you feel bad again. Like, if you don't like these, you don't like the medical scenario, it can just be very overwhelming. And yes, the woman, she's just getting on with birthing the baby. There's a process to go through, a very natural process, and she's getting on with it. And it can be quite, to say, quite strange and clinical for dads. And I think that can bring on strange emotions and feeling, you know, feeling out of control. Yeah,
it is. And but the thing is, see, when we eventually ended up in the delivery suite and the baby's coming, I mean, it all just went away. And I was with all three. It was just purely down to the excitement of it's baby time. Do you know what I mean? And it's getting ready to see baby. And there's also the kind of excitement is we had no idea what we were getting. We didn't get any scans or anything. Or we didn't find out the scan and stuff. So it's all the excitement of what is it going to be? What color is her going to be? How heavy is it? You know, and it kind of builds you up. So when you get to that stage, it's like game time, you know?
Yeah, it's a big surprise. Best surprise in the world, like, isn't it?
Oh, my.
There's no other feeling like it now that wee baby arrives and you get to hold them and everything. It's amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that does away with all the anxiety before and that. So, we know, everybody knows the scientific proof that the male brain works differently from the female brain. And if you talk about this as well, like preparing for birth and that, and usually the male brain is more like practical. So you think there's going to be a baby and you think of the practical things, you know, you think of the money, the car seat, and where you're going to put this, and is the house big enough, especially as your family grows? Did you have any concerns around those practical issues?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, see, when it hit, we're pregnant here, it was like, right, I mean, I run a business, so I'm constantly trying to organize and sort stuff out. So I do lists and task management, and I'm like, right, what do we need to do here? I'm like, let's get this, get this, get this, get this, get this. And it was just, so I mean, I was like, get the room ready, have the floor ready. This is the date I'm bringing in the cot. This is when I'm building the pram. I mean, I was just like, in the zone for when you get ready for something we don't have to do here. And you know, I was learning about things like milk and bottles and, you know, Ben milk and stuff, and then I'd read a book called Pregnancy for Dummies. So I mean, we went in our last holiday together to Ibiza, and I just sitting there reading on the deck chair reading Pregnancy for Dummies. And it sounds really silly, but I'm glad I read it because it was a really good book. So it was. So, and then there was the practicality of, in that book, what I'd read was for the guy to get a hospital bag ready as well.
Yeah. Good one.
So, yeah, I mean, my wife had sorted out her hospital bag because I don't know exactly. She was getting her clothes and stuff ready and all that crack. And then, so, I mean, she saw mine one day and she's all like straws and a fan, and I had a whole whack of crisps and, you know, soft drinks and stuff, you know, just for me. So she was all, I mean, what are the straws for? What are you going to need a fan for? This is ridiculous. But we got in there and I didn't really even know what we're going to use the straws for or the fan for. So the straws were for whenever she's laying down, it's really hard to drink the water, so it's just trying to through the water. And then the fans was for just getting hot. She just needed to cool down, like, you know. And again, you don't really think about these things in terms of practicality, but I'm glad I kind of did that kind of research because, you know, it turned out well, you know.
Definitely. And you mean, what you're saying, those are brilliant tips, like, for first-time parents or with any parents going, you know, to have a baby, because exactly what you said, the fan and the straws are two things I have in my doula bag. So yeah, those are really, really beneficial, and they may seem very trivial, but they can be really important for comfort.
Big time. And another tip would be, and the guy will always forget about this probably, is make a list of all the people you need to phone afterwards, because you're not going to want to have to think about who you have to phone.
Yeah.
And you just want to go click, click, click and phone. And she's going to be she's not going to want to have to phone anybody, you know. No. So, and then you don't want people getting offended because.
Yeah.
you just don't want to be, because she's going through that and they know that and stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, it's trying to keep everyone happy and not forgetting about anyone so they don't get the huff. Yeah, it's true.
Big time.
Yeah, so all good top tips there, Ryan. Thank you for sharing those. I'm sure they'll be really useful. All these dads running around now getting all their straws and
pregnancy for dummies.
Yeah. So the other thing as well with parenthood, I think any mum or dad realise, or anybody that has a baby in the house, is that work-life balance. It can really change, like the whole dynamics can change. Now, you said you have your own business and that, you work and everything. So do you work from home? Have you always worked from home, or is it just COVID? Have you working from home?
Well, I'm actually in our office at the minute. So, because I'm actually in work.
Oh yeah, work. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm in work now. And in terms of working from home and kind of getting that work-life balance, I'm fairly routined. So I mean, once I get a good routine in place, I try and work that. So my kind of routine for the day would be go in early, like 5 o'clock, work till about 8, and then I'd go home, do the school run and help out there, and then go back into work and work to 5. And then I'll just always try and take the weekends off. But the job that I do, a lot of the time it's very fluctuated because I have to work around clients. So I would end up, sometimes it doesn't always work that way, but generally that's the routine I'll always kind of try and do. And then I'll also try and book my work commitments around that, just to kind of make it fluctuate, because I like doing the school run. I like getting out, going in early, getting out for a wee break, bring the kids to school and then go back in, you know. It kind of breaks up that morning as such, you know.
Yeah, that's a very early start for you, isn't it?
It is. But in terms of work-life balance, sometimes it just gets, especially with lockdown, whenever lockdown first started, first of all, we weren't able to go into the office, so we had to completely adjust things.
Yeah.
And then working from home was almost more difficult because the kids were there. Yeah. So you're trying to have meetings. I ended up moving into the shed and building a desk out of a fence because nowhere was open to buy anything. You know, so had to adjust that. And then you're trying to, because you're home, you kind of want to spend more time. But on the plus side, you don't have to travel as much. So you're kind of saving a lot of time. And instead of going to meetings, everything just flipped around. So you could just meet online and everyone kind of adjusted to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that work-life balance is always difficult, but it's definitely something you kind of need to focus on to try and, you know, tune out, like, you know.
Yeah, and as you said, like with this pandemic, things have to change and you just have to be adaptable and flexible. And if you have to do a meeting, you have to go out to your shed, whatever, get a bit of peace and quiet.
That's it. Yeah,
many men will resonate with that as well.
Yeah.
You know, being used to going to the office and getting away from family life for a wee while and then coming back home, and then sort of we're in family mode now. Whereas with this COVID thing, if you're around or you're at home trying to work and the kids see you there and think, oh, dad's here, time to play, sort of thing, get the Lego out. But actually it's not as easy as that, and you do have to just adapt and be flexible, and you just wonder what's going through their wee heads too. You know, especially if they're not at school, if they're at home and daddy's there and mommy's there, it's like, what's going on? Is it holiday? We're not going anywhere. You just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult worrying about, you know, how their social development is going, especially when they're not in school. Now it was great getting them back into school because our youngest was going to nursery. So now he went to play group and then lockdown had kicked in. So we were worried about, I mean, we're going to bring him in here, but he was fine. He just bounced in and it was grand. Now it's a really good plus for us because they're so close in the age range and, you know, so they can play with each other. But I imagine it would be so difficult for parents that maybe just have one child. And I mean, if that child is on their own and stuff, oh, it would be, yeah, just, I can just imagine how difficult it would be for them.
Yeah. So we talked about being flexible and adapting. So adapting like from a couple to having a baby, becoming a threesome. So having one baby and then adapting to having two and then having three children. So you just keep changing and adapting your lifestyle and everything. So any big changes that you've noticed, like from one baby to three?
Yeah, so I mean, as I said, I did a load of planning for number one. So when number one was coming, I was all right, I'm doing this here, right? I'm gonna look at what I'm doing. I'm gonna try and cut time down and work. I'm gonna do this. And then we had baby number one, everything is organized, and then my wife breastfed. And so I didn't really have to do an awful lot. So see, as soon as we hit that point, I was all, this is all right. It's not too bad. It's manageable. I can get all the work done. I can do this here stuff. Then two came. And because I prepped for one so much, I didn't prep anything for number two. So I was just like, this will be easy, be grand. But there is a big adjustment in terms of going from one to two, especially during the pregnancy period. And whenever your wife's uncomfortable and, you know, you're especially towards the end and they're jumping, they're, number one's jumping about and it just gets difficult and stuff. And then the same thing whenever you've got two running about and number three's on its way, you know. But going to one, I thought was fairly okay. Number two was fine, I think. Number three, I think I'm running out of space in the house now. It's just a lot of adjustments. And it's not just because of the third one there. As they get older, for instance, number one is going to school and you're trying to get them involved in extracurricular activities like whether he's going to football or not and stuff and all those types of things and swimming and all. So you're trying to coordinate around all of that as well as the school runs and stuff. So as they get older, there's more for them. You're trying to get them involved in more stuff and you're getting more of them involved in other things. So yeah, I think number three was kind of, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I'll just sit here and let them get on with it. And what about, some people say the noise level in the house increases. Did you find that? Or just, not really?
Well, the first two were boys.
Right.
Baby girl has came. All right. And she just squeals loads. And I don't ever remember the boys going like that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's because she's a girl or anything, but she just, you know,
just make herself known.
Yeah, it just doesn't mind. Doesn't mind making noise.
Yeah. So we bit of a change there. And I know as well, some people say when you go like from two to three kids, it's the amount of the laundry, the washing, just like continually, and the washing machine's never off all the time. These are things that maybe some parents just don't think about, you know, as well.
I mean, I wouldn't be doing the washing now, so it's not my kind of.
I'm just checking there to
say. Yeah, you know.
See what you do.
So, I mean, I would be more involved in running about the house and trying to keep the garden tidy and those types of things. Yeah. Not being kind of trying not to be sexist here. It's just kind of how things kind of fail. I do a lot of the cooking, you know. So, it's just trying to balance that.
Well, this is it. I mean, nobody's here to judge, and everybody, I always say this to couples as well, when they plan for a baby, even their choices around having their baby, where they're having their baby, it's it's individual. Yeah, it's down to your own wee family circumstances that you find what works right for you.
Yeah.
You know, because it does, it has to work, otherwise everything falls apart. Yeah. So
it's not that I don't want to do the washing. It just kind of fell into that. Yeah. But again, see, when the babies came along, it involved me helping out loads, and it's not just washing, it's just trying to do everything until recovery period's over.
Yeah.
And just trying to provide that support, you know.
It all sounds so good, Ryan. Sounds like you're doing a great job there. From what you're telling me. Maybe I should have a podcast with your wife someday.
Well, yeah.
So here, I think we've chatted on here for quite a while. I know I said to you, try to keep it to about 20 minutes, but anyway, just a wee question. What's your favorite activity to do with the kids?
I just love getting out and into the fresh air. Yeah. So whether that's going to the park or going to some sort of event or something fun, just out into the fresh air. Mm-hmm. It's just my concern. I've did some work with some like health companies, and one of the things we did around that was screen time. Mm-hmm. And I always try and keep them off screens, whether it's TV or iPad or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I love getting them out and I love getting them active. I always try for an hour a day, mm-hmm. Especially when I'm off, just so, again, it burns them out a wee bit in terms of, it keeps, because they're active, it helps them sleep better. Yeah. And whenever they sleep, I sleep.
That sounds like the perfect arrangement there, definitely. Yeah,
I mean, and sleeping is probably one of the most important things, and trying to get that routine back. Mm-hmm. I do remember once we'd got into the routine of baby number two, and once he was sleeping through the night, I mean, everything is so much better and so much calmer and so much easier to deal with, because they're not tired, you're not tired, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And once you got that routine back, it's almost like that kind of period is over as such, and you're now fully grown up. Baby number three currently is teething. Ooh. And she's up all night.
Oh dear.
But I mean, it'll just take a while to get past it, and it's always remembering at that point, you know, don't worry, we'll get past this, you know. Yeah. So it is. But yeah, sleeping for me is, I was never really bothered about sleeping before, because I was like, I'll be no bother with sleep, because I would have always did late hours and got up early. So sometimes I'd have been working right up into the night. But the difficulty I have is when you're asleep, it's the broken sleep and being constantly woken up, instead of getting one full set of 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours. It's the constant breaking up that's difficult. But once you get past that, everything is grand.
Yeah, and let's be honest, like for any parents listening, that is one of the biggest challenges, I think, with bringing a newborn baby home or having a newborn baby in the house, is the interrupted sleep, because we babies don't usually sleep as long as what adults do. Their sleep patterns are completely different, and that can be really challenging for first time parents, because you don't know how long it's going to go on for. Like whenever you're in your second or third baby, you know that it's only a wee period, it's not going to last forever, and you will get your sleep back eventually, you know. But for first time parents, that'd be quite challenging, because being deprived of your sleep is awful. Yes. It's a shocking way to be. Like, it's no wonder it's a form of torture, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I remember at one point whenever sleep was really bad, something came on TV, something like US Marines, mm-hmm. whenever they're doing like a thing called Hell Week, they only get like 1 hour sleep a night. Mm-hmm. I'm going, I love 1 hour sleep a night.
That would be great.
Only joking, I definitely got more than that, but that's what I was kind of thinking. And again, a lot of parents probably don't realize that their mood may be going when that's happening. Mm-hmm. And you know, it creates a whole bag of mixed emotions that they're not used to, because they're used to just being able to sleep. And it can lead on to make things really difficult, and them just not realize, you know, this is what's happening, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. So before we finish, Ryan, best thing about being a daddy?
Best thing about being a daddy? It's just fun, you know? Yeah. I just love... Yeah. One of the most fun things I love doing is, see, anytime it snows, I just drop everything. See if I'm at work, see if I have a job on, I was like, stuff this.
Yeah. Right?
I just go home and I build an igloo. Just getting out in the snow, playing with them, and, you know, having kind of this structure at the end, and they love it as well.
Yeah.
And that's why I, every year I'm like, is it going to snow? Is it going to snow? Is it going to snow? You know?
Yeah.
But it's really just having the fun and, you know, going out and doing stuff for me, like.
Yeah, definitely. It is about having fun, because everything else just follows, just goes on, doesn't it? Life goes on, and if you're not having fun, like, what's it all about then?
Exactly.
So do you want to do a wee plug then for your Get Up and Dad just before we finish off?
Yeah, if you want to head over to Get Up and Dad, I'm on Instagram and YouTube, and give me a quick follow. I'll be posting stuff up, like, on my Instagram, you know, all the types of things I'll be doing with the kids. And then if you want to hit my podcast up as well, I'm on Spotify and iTunes. And that's really just about me talking to other parents who've maybe been through a few things, and how they're positive parenting, and it's mostly working parents as well.
Thank you very much, Ryan. So there you go, listeners, lots more to listen to. And thank you for joining us. And thank you, Ryan, for being part of Let's Do It today. And I'll just give a wee plug for mine. So anyone wants to get in touch, you can find me on my website, motherdoula.com, or my Instagram, and Hypnodoula. So that's it for today. Thank you. Hello.
That's you recording again.